Hey guys, it's Matt here, and I got a story for you. When I was a kid, I was playing hockey, and oh man, there was this one year, this one team, we could not beat these guys. They were all over us. They were competitive games, though. They were tight, but we just could not beat them. And I remember the last game of the year, it was up against this team, and we were gearing up. We were like, we have to get these guys. When we won that last game, it was so satisfying because we finally got the victory over the team that had dummied us, that had dominated us for so long. I think this is the same thing with sexual brokenness, with sexual sin, where there's been brokenness in our lives and the enemy has come and taken ground and he's dominated us for so long, but we get to make a difference. We get to be part of a message and a mission of freedom. It is such a cool opportunity. So I want to invite you, men and women of any age, to be part of the Action Squad. The Action Squad is something that we're putting together right now. We're looking for 100 people to be on the Action Squad. There's going to be some competitive nature to it. There's prizes. And we're going to work together to help produce a documentary that is literally going to change the world. We're featuring stories of sexual brokenness, of people who have been restored and redeemed, reconciled to God and to people in their lives. And we're going to feature these stories in this world-class documentary that will be a resource for churches to host movie nights, for small groups to watch together, for families to watch and be inspired by. And it's going to highlight the problem in the church, but also show the power of God that is at work when we bring this stuff to light. And so if you want to be part of the Action Squad and help us put this documentary together, I would love for you to go to restoredministries.ca/action squad. You can watch a 10-minute video there that I put together on what it can look like for you to join us in this mission and be part of putting this documentary together. So restoredministries.ca/action squad. Hope to see you there.
Welcome to the Pure Victory Podcast, full of hot tips to help you win at sex, conquer porn, and find purpose in staying free forever. Here are your hosts, Matt Klein and Braden Hafner.
Hey, welcome back to Pure Victory Podcast. Pumped that you're with us for another episode. Pumped that things are growing too. If you're new, we've got a lot of new listeners lately. It's pretty awesome to see. And so if you're new, welcome. Welcome to the tribe. We're excited for you to be with us, with Matt and Braden here, also with Brad and Lisa. We're excited to have them on. Probably my favorite Instagram celebrities. And so
oh man.
Right back at you.
It's fun. It's fun just having fun with people you meet online. And I believe that one day we'll do some things together in person. But right now, I've been following Brad and Lisa for a while and vice versa. And actually we had Andy, who we both know. We had Andy on just a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago. And he was plugging Unrelenting.
Oh, nice.
I don't know if you can plug other podcasts. Like, absolutely, with them for sure.
Love it.
Absolutely. So we're excited to have you guys on and just hear from you guys about what it looks like to have a great sex life. So thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having us. We are huge fans and so adore what you do. And I mean, you know, in what we navigate through, we get a lot of people who deal with those things that you guys actively help people navigate through. So we're always pushing people towards you guys.
Well, thank you. we're just always so, I guess the word would be proud, but excited and happy when we meet couples like you that have put their hand up to support marriages, but not only that, open up their lives, what God has done, and just reveal some of those ways that God has taught you and provided for you and worked through your lives. So I know you're going to do lots of that in this podcast, but we're going to have a great conversation today about how to have a great sex life. Great. And this is something I think that we all have interest in if we're married, even if we're not married. How do we have
true?
And so let's just begin. I think that this is a big topic, but where do we begin when we start to think about how to have a great sex life?
Well, clearly you just get married and it happens.
Yeah.
That's what I thought when I was single. Yeah. Like, you don't need this.
I'm done.
Yeah.
The honeymoon phase, just let it go forever and it's
that's
perfect.
That's right. Sustains your marriage. That's right.
Oh, man. Yeah. Gosh.
It takes work.
Yeah. It takes a lot of work. But I think the only way to have great sex in your marriage, well, great sex, we're talking about all in marriage. So I shouldn't have to caveat that, right? Like, you guys know. But to even start out with or building the great sex is, you have to start And I always go to this all the time, but you have to start, you have to get your priority right. Right? Like the first thing first is your relationship with Christ and how rooted and grounded that is. And I know that sounds crazy for some people that are probably listening, because it's like, wait a minute, like that has nothing to do with sex, and it has everything to do with it. And so doing that first, and then just building this relationship outside the bedroom, yeah, like that's so important to even begin,
yeah,
to like create that great sex life. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think a big facet, I think that has really been a catalyst for change for both Brad and I is, you know, you don't even realize how much shame can have an impact on your sex life and in your marriage. And both of us had to navigate through that in different ways. But I would say like that is something in your sex life that ends up causing you to not really pursue true intimacy with your spouse. And it is, I think that's the reality of, you know, really allowing God to enter into every space of your life, because the enemy wants us to stay in shame. And so when we really have that relationship with Christ and he really shows us who he is and the restorer that he is, once you can lay down shame when it comes to your sex life with your spouse, it really is so freeing. And it is just a beautiful way that, I mean, God designed sex. So it's completely normal to like allow him into that space. Mm-hmm. And he wants to be invited into every area of our life to really bring it to the truest form of intimacy that it can be. And I would say, and everyone always says this, but really, truly, we would say that sex starts outside of the bedroom.
Yeah.
So making sure that anyone listening, you know, anyone who I think has a great sex life or a good sex life, they understand that it doesn't just begin at, you know, when you get into bed at night. That's not when a great sex life starts. The intimacy is meant to be in every area of your life. And then this just becomes a byproduct of something that you've actually been working on all day long, all your life.
I actually love that you're saying this, that it starts outside the bedroom, but a lot of people, when they hear that, they think the practical, like, let's love each other, let's flirt. But you're also saying, let's deal with the shame, which you could say that's outside the bedroom. And so what does that look like for, or what did that look like for you guys? Maybe it still does, I don't know, but what's that look like for you guys personally in dealing with that shame or recognizing how that affects your sex life?
Dun, dun, dun. I'll let him start.
Wow.
He doesn't want to talk about shame. Brad can do that.
Wait, next question.
Right. Yeah. Softball questions are tossing away. Yeah.
Wow. This, I think for me, it's multiple levels of this for sure. So, you know, with our whole testimony and our whole story and then rebuilding trust and getting back in, and I was still struggling with pornography, right? And it wasn't, you know, I know you guys hear it all the time, right? You know, it's that was still something that was like lingering in there. And I had tons of shame about that. And it was like this horrible cycle that you end up in, right? You know, especially as someone that's following God and trying to do all these things, you know, it's like I mess up, then I say I'm sorry, then I mess up, then I, you know, it's a stupid cycle. And I know that everyone, like, you hear this all the time whenever you talk to guys about this. So when I finally was, you know, able to walk in victory away from that, really, and I still held a ton of shame from that, and also from my life of walking away from my family and everything I did during that. And so the shame, like, it was, you know, two or threefold different things, right? So one, it was, okay, I've had sex with other people and I broke this covenant, and now we're rebuilding trust and we're starting to have a sex life again. And I feel like I have to walk on eggshells because I don't want it to mess up, right? So I'm like, I'm ashamed of everything I've done, and I'm afraid, you know, if I hug her like this, is she thinking that this was, you know, something he did when he was, you know, when we had a broken marriage, when we almost got a divorce, like all those things would constantly flash into my head. And then along with that is the virtual side of it too. Like, you know, these, you know, wants that I have for my wife, are they coming from a true selfless place of we're married and I want to enjoy her and I want her to feel great? Or is it coming from this dark corner of sin that, you know, is feeding my flesh, right? And so then there was that shameful side of it. And then on top of all of that, because I am a dude and I think a lot of dudes have this issue, period, is my body image, right? Like, period, just, you know, my body image. Everyone, they kind of shove that under the rug as a guy because it's like, no, you're a dude. Like, you don't have that. Like, you walk around however. But the reality of all of that is what is shoved into our face daily, right? Like, get rid of the dad bod, do this, do that, you know, all of these things. Like, you should look like some superhero, and then your wife's going to want you more. And then, you know, all those, they're all lies. Yeah. But it's just all these things that just constantly bombard you. And so for me to even, you know, that was hurting our sex life, period, right? One, well, clearly, if you're dabbling, or, you know, if you're not addicted to porn, but you're always kind of going to it and you're married and you're trying to have a great sex life. I wrote this in our notes and I didn't know if it was going to come up. And Lisa was like, I don't even know what you're talking about here. But in the notes that I wrote, which, you know, Matt, we don't write notes. And so it was kind of hard to do this.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, right. But I talked in the notes about, you know, I equate it to like giving up sugar, right? So like giving up artificial sugar. I don't know if you guys have ever done that, you know, like, I'm not going to do any candy or nothing for 30 days, whatever it is. During that time, when you actually wean yourself off the sugar, I'm not a dietitian, so I don't know the benefits of it, but when you wean yourself off the sugar, all of a sudden these natural candies, right? Like fruit, like tastes so much better. It tastes amazing. And it's just this whole different, it's what God designed us to have. Right? Like, pick a peach off the tree and it tastes like amazing. Our peach tree's dying, so we're both sad about that. But it was amazing just to go out there and pick that off the tree. If you've detoxed from, you know, artificial or processed sugars, then when you get that, it's just this amazing piece. And so I equated it to what our sex life was like at the beginning of restoring all this stuff and me still hanging on to pornography and me still dealing with shame. And once that all started breaking, all of a sudden it was like a whole new world, if that makes sense. Like, everything was just so much better. So everything was just so much more enhanced. And it was amazing. And not just physically, like the physical part. Yes, of course, it's amazing. Like, I mean, no, everyone knows that, right? This is an amazing thing that God's given us. But it was the deep connection that you have and that oneness. Mm-hmm. And then your shame starts leaving. Like, all that stuff starts leaving. And does it creep up every now and then? Of course it does. Like, I think that's the human curse that we have to live with. But it starts leaving to where you have more confidence.
Yeah. And then you know truth.
And you know truth. And you feel this, man, this deeper connection. It's just, it is, it's truly amazing.
And freedom.
Yeah. And freedom. So, but to get there was hard. And that's why I started the whole thing with, like, it's easy to say, it's hard to do, but to really focus your priority on God and then start walking that route and, you know, hopefully getting to this place. But,
and I would like to say that Brad was the only one who carried any shame or ever had anything to feel shameful about, but that's just not the case.
We just recorded an episode on narcissism, so that's not.
We're not saying that. Anything. Lisa. Yeah.
No, I carried. I actually never realized how much shame that I carried in regards to this area until our marriage fell apart, which is kind of funny. That, you know, there's some areas that you don't feel like you have to pay attention to until they fall apart. And then all of a sudden it's like this glaring light on this realization of, oh wow, there were some things that were really broken. Not just, I wouldn't say like in our marriage, but in myself, I recognize a lot of things, because I think I'm so grateful that God used that time in my life to really reveal a lot of things about me, which I wasn't super happy about because I felt like he should really be paying attention to Brad and his junk. So I kind of wanted him to leave me alone. But he was so faithful to reveal so many things in me. And the reality was in our story, which if you want to hear our story, episode 80 and 81 of our podcast is where you can hear our story. But in that situation, I didn't know if our marriage was actually going to be reconciled or saved in any way. And all indicators pointed that it wouldn't. And so I really had the opportunity to take a good hard look at some things that I knew I did not want to carry into my future. One of those things was the recognition. And I'll go into this because I think it's a great aspect of having a great sex life is I recognized I was not a pursuer of my husband. And it wasn't in the fact that I never was a person who said no. I never withheld, but I never pursued. So there was a distinct, I never realized this until afterwards, but this aspect of him feeling wanted by me was not there. And it wasn't intentional. It wasn't something I was doing on purpose. And I can give you every excuse of we had three kids and it's busy and the seasons of life and all of those things. And that was relevant. But the reality was, is that I realized I'd never wanted to leave an opportunity for the enemy when it came to my spouse not feeling wanted by me. I wanted him to feel wanted by me. And I really, when we finally did get the opportunity, and that's what we talk about, that we got a chance to live out a miracle and we still get to. When we got that opportunity to begin to rebuild our sex life, I took that very seriously. And when it comes to healing, and especially since you're dealing with a lot of people who are navigating that aspect of having to deal with the thought life, right? This is where it's can be such a wrecking ball in our sex life on both sides is, you know, you're thinking, what's this other person thinking about? And these images that you're contending with, and especially when you're trying to rebuild trust, man, this is a zone that can really be difficult. And I also didn't realize that I like control until all this happened in my life. So God was just kind of like revealing things in me. And, you know, funny that I can say this aspect actually was something that allowed me to kind of navigate into something that I actually naturally gravitate towards, which is some level of control, but also being able to say, like, I am going to own the fact that I want my spouse to feel wanted and I'm going to pursue him and I'm going to do it. And I'm going to remove the obstacles that I naturally place in my life. I'm going to not allow myself to walk in rejection and betrayal and questioning all the time. And I'm not saying I did this perfectly. So those of you that are listening and going like, girl, you're crazy. And I don't know how you did that. Well, it was one step at a time. I mean, I think that there's that aspect of, we always talk about 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, talking about how he's given us divine power to demolish strongholds and taking every thought captive to his obedience. And there was that distinct reality that I invited that into our sex life too, and saying like, okay, no, this is not going to be a territory that the enemy is going to win in our lives. And so, I have made it and still to this day is a great honor to make my husband feel wanted by me. And I would also say that that is outside of the bedroom. I realized in my everyday life, I had a tendency to just kind of like, I don't know if I really realized it, but I could have some cutting humor. And I really like sarcasm. I really enjoy it. You know, I am from up north and my family is very sarcastic. And I that was like a little bit of love to me, right? It was like, okay, I'll be sarcastic and have a little bit of cutting edge humor. But I realized I did that a lot with my husband and I didn't build him up very often. Or even when we were with other people, I wasn't like just being flirtatious with him. I would say now, like, we make it our goal to make somebody uncomfortable at some point. Like, but it's like, because we want people to know, like, this right here is sacred ground. Like, yeah, we want each other still. We love each other and we're excited to be married. And so we want that to be reflected, not just in private in our bedroom, but we want it to be reflected in every area of our life. And so that pursuit is important. And I know for Brad, like, I know how he feels pursued. I know those things. And so that's an aspect of a great sex life too, is like knowing, how does your spouse feel pursued? Because I'm telling you, at different seasons in my life, Brad, taking out the trash was pursuit for me. Like, you know, and so it's important that you as a spouse, you recognize like, how does my husband or how does my wife feel pursued? You know, me taking out the trash for Brad is not going to do it, you know? And so it's that recognition of, hey, how does my spouse feel pursued? And then you own that part of your life. Like my spouse, they're going to know I want them. I look for them. I pursue them. And that, yeah, you can walk in that. And it really does bring a sense of healing, I think, to your sex life.
Mm-hmm. That's great, guys. And what I'm picking up on it, I mean, there's a lot of great themes here, but a deeper connection to God, a deeper connection to each other. And often that's counterintuitive to the cultural message that we're seeing with sex these days, which is, yeah. I mean, someone's picking up on this podcast, like, why aren't you guys talking about how to do this or that in the bedroom? And I think it's great because what you guys are describing, though, is that, you know, great sex is something that requires deep intimacy and connection. Mm-hmm. And that isn't just how good we are in the bedroom. That mm-hmm. really has to do with how we love each other as husband and wife. And then the outflow of that is where we see great sex occur. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's an amazing message that you guys are bringing. And I mean, there's a lot of things that can impede our connection, right? You're talking about seasons of life, talking about the different things that we've gone through in our past, maybe some traumatic things, or even in our own relationship as marrieds, right? Mm-hmm. Where maybe there's been some loss of trust or a betrayal of some kind. And so all these things can impede against that. So you've mentioned a few things that you guys did to connect as a couple outside of the bedroom. Maybe expand a little bit on that, because I know that your story, there's so much to it in regards to what you brought in from your past, but also what you experienced as a couple. And I highly recommend anybody listening to go listen to their story. It's powerful. So even for yourselves, what are some examples of ways that you learn to really connect deeply as a couple, but even some things that you know that are just good best practice things mm-hmm. for couples that connect well outside of the bedroom, so that what happens in the bedroom is a reflection of that?
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. I think that the first thing that came to my head was we decided to date each other. And, you know, it sound like all these answers sound so simple. They're hard to implement, especially if you haven't been doing them, right? But when we started getting back together and started all these things, and to this day, we try our hardest to go out once a week. Now, that could look like sometimes it's a big night out, right? You know, a nice dinner, all these things. Sometimes it's I remember one time we just ran to the store mm-hmm. like for a while, you know, but it's something where the kids are not involved. Nobody else is involved. It's not like we'll go out with friends too, but it's most important when it's just us because nobody else is around. We can sit there and talk or we can walk and talk, whatever it is, but just that intentional time away from everybody else mm-hmm. I would prefer outside of home. Because there's so many distractions in home that aren't bad. It's just, there's so many distractions here. So I prefer to go out, like actually go out and do something. And you can find cheap things to do. I know, like, you know, there's always the money issue, of course, and that's fine. But also on top of that is, where are you investing, right? And so if a night out for dinner and a movie is gonna cost X,
And
a babysitter, if you need a babysitter, all those things, that is going to take a chunk, right? But the flip side of that is like not doing it and you're still stuck in this rut, still stuck in these routines, not feeling pursued by each other, not able to get alone and just talk. Like, I mean, yeah, there was times we would get alone and we're talking about the kids, of course, but more times than not, it's just talking about whatever and really just dating again, just making sure that we're staying up and just dating each other over and over again, even though we're married. We've been married 22 years and we still want to do it all the time. Just mm-hmm. keep going out, keep making these new memories, making these memories together, laughing together, joking together, yeah. all those things while you're out as a couple. Now, if you can't do that, I mean, go to the backyard or go out on a walk. You know, something to get you kind of out of that normal routine. That was a big thing we decided to do. And I mean, of course, there's weeks we miss it, things like that always come up. But our intentionality is there to always try to do that every week. That's a big one that we've done.
Yeah, I was going to say that that was the first thing that came to my mind too. And just like that remembrance of, man, laughter and flirting with each other is so powerful. And we forget that, which is so dumb.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that this is one of the reasons that we fall in love with our spouse, is like this ability to laugh and connect. But we let the burdens of life kind of overrule like our natural instinct to just have fun with our spouse. And especially if you're in a season of healing in your marriage, we almost like feel guilty. Yeah. If you have fun, if you laugh, you feel bad about it. But there's such healing there. It's like this remembrance of like, man, I like you. Like, I really like you. Like, you're funny, you know, and you need to create opportunity for that. You need to create opportunity for adventure and fun. And I always think, like Brad and I talk about, like, man, it's our mission to let our kids know that this marriage stuff is fun.
Yeah.
Like, we want you to know that being married is awesome. We don't want you to have this view of how the world portrays it, which is like, oh, I guess you're married now, ball and chain. Yeah. Like, your life is over and there's no more fun left in your life. Like, no, this is an exciting, fulfilling, God-honoring relationship. And so when we started that recognition of we are going to make room for connection, we're going to make room for fun, we are going to do adventures. And I would also say something that really helped us, I think, even in that aspect of seriousness, side-by-side connection actually really helped us as well. He talked about the walking, things like that. Sometimes when things are serious, like you're just staring at someone across the table and it's like, now we're going to talk about deep things. And
well, that was something else I wanted to say too. Like, there was times for deep conversation that just naturally happened. We weren't saying like, okay, we're going out, and in order to connect and have a, you know, better marriage, which all leads to the bedroom, we need to have these deep conversations. Yeah. And I need to get down and just figure out everything that's going on.
Which you
and
do need to.
You do. But I think majority of ours always happen organically. It was nothing like, there was no, the pretense for us to go out on a date wasn't to finish it off in the bedroom. It wasn't to have some deep conversation over dinner, over a drive. It was nothing like that. It was just simply to connect, period. Yeah. To enjoy each other and connect. Now, the benefits of all that are you're going to learn your spouse better. You're going to have a deeper connection. You will have those deep, deep conversations. And you're probably going to top it off at night, right? Like, I mean, it's probably going to end up in the bedroom somehow. And that's great. It doesn't always happen that way. But the pretenses of that, what that's not what this was all about. This was simply just about trying to connect constantly.
Yeah. And then I think always we really did try to, and this is, I would say, something that we've learned to kind of also develop in every area of our life, is that we're not self-seeking. And so I think, you know, when you can embrace that in every area of your life, that rolls over into the bedroom, right? That you naturally start to live your life, not in the idea of like, how can I fulfill my needs? What do I want? What is it that it's most important to me? And if you start to filter that differently, if you start to look at your lens, how can I serve my spouse? How can I serve my kids? Ultimately, how can I serve Christ today? Which is what he calls us to do, right? It's what he did. He laid down his life for us. And so when you begin to model and live out a servant attitude, which is not easy to do, and every one of us trips up on that, but it also rolls over into the bedroom. And that's ultimately creates a great sex life when you're not in there just going like, well, what do I want? What are my needs? How can you fulfill me? And if it turns towards your spouse, I mean, that is fulfilling for both of you in such a deep, intimate way, for sure.
Great stuff, guys. It's so deep and practical, but also it's getting really to the heart of the matter, which is really awesome. And it's so necessary to do this stuff. And so once this is established, let's get practical. If there's, like, in the bedroom, if there's something that one person wants and the other spouse doesn't like it, that's sometimes a hard conversation to have. How do you coach people in just understanding each other's sexual desires, and not just the emotional connection, but those sexual desires in the bedroom?
Man, those are
hard to talk about.
Yeah. It's so, and it shouldn't be, because it's your wife, right? It's your spouse. It should not be a hard topic to talk about, even if you haven't been tainted, you know, in any way. Like, this shouldn't be a hard topic, but it still is. And like earlier, when Lisa was talking about you know, not being selfish, you know, not wanting all these things. And there's that fine line, because you'll tell yourself like, I don't want to be selfish, but now Lisa's like, well, what do you like? And it's like, well, I don't know if I could talk about this because I don't want to be selfish.
Right.
But it's the heart of the matter, right? It's not, it's something that I want to ask Lisa because I want to know, like, I want to know, how can I just serve you better, right? Like, how can I like just love you, make you feel better? You know, all these things, like, how can I do that? What do you like? Those are just tough conversations. I don't even know how to really get around it other than just saying like, hey, like, do you like it when I do this or not? You know, which sounds so crazy. You know, a lot of the couples we've coached, when we've talked about sex, this has come up a little bit, but nothing crazy, because also majority of those people we're coaching, they're like deep in crisis, right? And they're just trying to say, hey, we need to mend this now. Mm-hmm. And we're like, go mend
it. And there's a season
right?
of vanilla like, in the mending absolutely. Process. Because God forbid
that's you pull okay.
out it. Yeah, yeah. If you pull out something new in the middle of like mm-hmm. healing, like yep. that's a danger zone.
No. Yeah. Super danger zone. No, I don't know. What would you
I think
say?
It's like, it's... you have to be willing to even wade into the uncomfortable. But I would say if someone in particular is saying like, I really want to do this and your spouse is uncomfortable, there's a reality of you don't want your spouse to be uncomfortable, but you do want to invite conversation. And it's important to navigate through that and to figure out like, you know, I heard it once described even of having a circle of like, I would do this. These are my no's. And then there's this like middle ground that you're like, I guess I would be willing to like try that one time, but I'm not really sure. I don't know if this circle analogy will help somebody if they need to write it down. But I think it is like, as you grow, I think it's really beautiful that this man that I've been married to for 22 years, I'm still discovering new things about him and vice versa, because you do change and seasons happen and you have kids and careers and just in general, your body changes. And there's just such a beauty of knowing that you have that opportunity with someone for your whole life to get to know them and have conversation and to invite that conversation. And if something isn't working for somebody right now, that's fine. And maybe later on it will. And that's great. And if not, guess what? That's not the most important thing.
No,
this isn't just the me show. Mm-hmm. And so it does become more about just like, you're wanting to build a unity, not just in the bedroom, but everywhere in your life. And as you guys build that in other areas, you're going to find that you have opportunity to be a little bit more, I don't know what the right word I'm looking for, just playful in the bedroom,
adventurous
whatever, in the bedroom. Yeah. It
really too, like also if you're listening to this and you're, you know, woman or man, what, you know, whichever side of the house you're on that is, where is it coming from? Right. So if you want to try something in the bedroom, like, where is it coming from? Is it like, what's the, I don't know if I want to say the motive, but what's the heart behind it? Right. Mm-hmm. Is it, you know, to have fun and just, you know, playing with your spouse. And it's just like, hey, we should do this. And oh yeah, I think that'd be fun. Or is it something that you've seen and you've been like fantasizing about, and I've always wanted to do this and I've never had this chance, or, you know,
you have
so,
to be careful.
Yeah. Where is that coming from? Especially if you're coming from the broken side of it. Right. And you're into this new, and you start having these like thoughts of like, well, I mean, man, that might be fun. Well, why, where is it? You know, what's the root of that question? What's the root of, or even what's the root of telling your spouse, hey, I like it when you do this. Is it coming from that dark past or what you've laid down and you've moved on? Or is it just coming from, hey, it's amazing when you do this. Like, I love it. And I wanted you to do that more. And because I enjoy it and it's just amazing to see you like this, you know, whatever it is. But you have to know where that's coming from, because that fine line, I mean, and also I would say this too, like, nothing should be in a degrading way, right? You know, like, hey, the bedroom is sacred marriage ground. Like, this was given to you by God and you can do all these things. You could do all these things. But if it's coming into like where you're degrading someone or towing that line, then yeah, you need
to
really
live out images in your head that you like specifically. I mean, talking from, you know, our marriage was really wounded by pornography and infidelity. So there was that period of time where it was like anything that we did, we had to just like recognize that we had to discover that together. And there was that period of time knowing that, yeah, I certainly didn't want to be living out any pornographic fantasy mm-hmm. with my husband. I certainly didn't want him having done anything else over here and then trying to live that out with me. No, this is sacred ground. This is sacred ground. And so it's recognizing that this is a God thing and we aren't going to accept that artificial sweetener, if you will, here. Yeah. And it's, so it is, it's that sweeter version and it is holy. And so it's important to remember that.
That's great. A lot of communication, it sounds like, that we need to have as couples. And one little maybe tip from you guys, when we talk about this, because I know, is it in the bedroom in the midst of making love, or are we doing this in a set time when we sit down together and actually can have a face-to-face conversation? What do you guys find is best practice there? Because I'm sure you have some thoughts on both.
Yeah. I would say definitely not during, right? Or like right before, like, hey,
like, I would argue you can do both if it's done in a tasteful way. Like, I mean,
absolutely. I think you can.
Yeah. Cause you can certainly be like, that feels really good. I mean, those kind of communication aspects when you're in it can actually be easier.
No, I get that. I guess I was just thinking of like talking.
Let's you're not resolving conflict.
No. That's it. You're not working through things in the bedroom.
And then I know, and I think for us, we have never set a time to talk about this. And
we always tell people to do that though.
Yeah. You know, we do, we really do. But I think like for me, at least, it's a lot of organic stuff that happens, right? Like organic conversation. So, you know, we're doing something, I don't know, she's getting ready and I'm just kind of, you know, sitting there, whatever. Side by side conversation. And I'm like, hey, you know what? Like, that was like, whatever, that weekend was amazing. Like, I really like when you do this, or maybe we could try this or whatever. Like, I think for me, it's that organic side of it that I really like. But that comes from our intentionality of being communicators with each other and really just trying to like be open. Man, I get uncomfortable with all that kind of talking because like, it's so hard for me to even do it organically because of my past. It's just so hard because I do ask that question. Well, why am I thinking like this? Where is this coming from? Or even if I have like, I don't have a problem with it, but still I'm like, well, if I say this, is like, what is she going to think? Or is this selfish? Am I being selfish? Or am I, you know, and logically, I know I'm not, because if you're asking yourself, if you're doing all these things, more than likely you're not. Because you're actually self-aware of what's going on, right? Yeah. I'm not saying that's true for everyone, but I've found that in my life. Like if I'm asking myself these questions, when I really sit there and, you know, introspective, I can say, no, I'm not being selfish. So for me, it's harder when it's definitely harder when it's scheduled, right?
Yeah, I think this is where it comes into knowing your spouse a little bit, is like for what works for us is not going to work for every couple. Mm-hmm. And the reality is if you... there may be a season where you do have to actually schedule something or schedule a conversation with someone. Yeah. You know, sometimes if communication is so broken down or your sex life is so broken down, the wounds are so gaping, you can't actually function in a healthy way. Please go and talk with someone, get outside help. Like, I think that is something I want to make sure that I talk about, because I think people feel like when you're really struggling, you feel so isolated and alone, and you mm-hmm. feel like no one could possibly understand what you're experiencing. And that is exactly how the enemy wants us to be, is to be isolated and to not heal. And I think it's this recognition that God uses outside sources and people as well. And so get help. Please, there is help out there. So don't be afraid to have the conversations. And if you have to schedule it, if you have to schedule it with someone, God really does desire wholeness in this area and healing in this area. And it's so beautiful when it is, which is why you see the world like working so hard to desperately tear this down.
And it's the first thing that goes in a marriage that's struggling. right? Even if it's a little fight, like maybe it's not a full on struggle with your wife or husband at all. But the first thing that goes is your bedroom, right? Like that intimate time, that's the first thing that goes. If you're mad at each other, whatever it is, you're not thinking, I'm not going to do this, but you're not going to because you guys aren't.
Or sometimes you are and you're like, well, if you're not going to do that, then I'm not going to do this.
Yeah. We do also tell people not only scheduling time to talk, but scheduling time to have sex.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and as when I first heard this, when we first started this journey of this ministry and all these things, I first heard this, I was like, that sounds so boring to me. Like, I can't, but like how, like, oh, look at the calendar. Okay. On the 21st, we're going to have sex. And then on the 22nd, I have a doctor's appointment, whatever it is, right? Just like this mundane calendar. And the more I grew, the more I understood that now you're not having these unmet, unspoken expectations throughout the week, right? Like, oh, I think like we're having a great day. The kids are doing great. She's not tired. I think we're going to have sex tonight. And then it doesn't happen. And you're like, ugh. And you know, you don't have those days.
And
because
she's not thinking, oh, he just held my hand because of this.
Because or he wants to have, yeah.
So those are something
to look forward to, something to, you know, maybe it sparks flirtation throughout the week. Maybe it sparks all these things throughout the week, but I do think that it is very healthy to do that.
Yeah.
That's another aspect that we really push people towards too.
Yeah, no, that's really good, guys. So what I'm hearing is when Lisa asks for just a back rub, that's when you say, okay, I won't initiate. I'll just initiate talking about sex.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
No, but there's a good time to ask those questions and know your spouse. And so there's no set answer. That's working exactly for right for every couple, scheduling sex or not. Does it work for you guys? That's the biggest thing. And so you got to figure out what works for you with your spouse, which is awesome. You guys have a lot to offer. Is there anything else, just last thoughts that you have, just to kind of wrap up on how to have a great sex life?
Have fun. Like, have fun. Really, just have fun. It doesn't have to be this huge monstrous event when you're married, right? Someone once told me that, you know, there's the station wagon and there's a Ferrari. And sometimes you guys hop in the Ferrari and you go 0 to 60 in like 0.2 seconds and that's it. And then sometimes it's a station wagon and you're taking like an 8-hour trip across the state, whatever it is. But there's those times where it's just like, hey, we just are going to do this and have fun. And then there's the times where you're just enjoying yourselves for as long as you can. Like, and I think that that's important to know, because you can get in your head. It can affect so many things if you're just putting like so much pressure on it, when really just relax and have fun with it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, married sex is the best sex. And so I think it's this recognition of taking back, like I said, what culture depicts this as, because culture will tell you to follow your heart and do all these things and portray all these things. And then when it comes to marriage, it's like, okay, no, fun's over. And I think, just like Brad said, the having fun, but then just knowing like this is an area that needs to be paid attention to. And I think a lot of times I'll pick on women because I'm a woman, that we can neglect this area specifically, that we can feel every justification to not pay attention to this until we feel like there is a right quote unquote season, or we are the right quote unquote weight. Or, you know, I can give you a list of 1,000 excuses that I've heard, or the wounds that we carry. And those are not illegitimate things to, you know, they're real. But the reality is that this is not an area that can be ignored for long without direct consequences in your own life and in your marriage. And so pay attention. Coming from a couple who has been wounded in this area in really the deepest way that you can be wounded, and seeing God's reconciliation in some of the deepest ways that we could ever imagine, it's worth pursuing. It's worth pursuing healing. It's worth pursuing your spouse. And so I would just encourage you, don't ignore this. Don't just see the, you know, the title or listen to part of it and then just check out. Cause I think that's just like, okay, well, this will be good for somebody else and I'm not going to have to take this personally. And the reality is this is an area every single one of us has opportunity to grow in, and including us. Yeah. And so that's the cool thing, is we have the opportunity to grow. So keep that perspective.
That's great. Great words. And yeah, we never arrive in this area, but we can keep growing together as a couple. So appreciate you both, the wisdom that you brought today. And where can we find you guys?
Yeah, Brad always is like, okay, now you talk. Our website has about everything on it, unrelentingpursuit.org. We're most active on Instagram, which is unrelentingpursuit, and then the underscore. You can email us, info@unrelentingpursuit.org. You see the theme here. And then our podcast, of course, is Unrelenting Pursuit. You can find us about anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Great. That's awesome. What do you guys offer?
So we do coaching and we do weekend intensives. So our favorite is the weekend intensives because we just get a chance to really deep dive in with a couple. And our whole intention is to really be able to help couples move from what has been towards what can be. So we're very forward focused because we know how much that matters. It's so easy to get caught in just where you are and difficult to move past it. So those are our favorite, I think.
Yeah.
And we are working on, I mean, I keep saying we're working on courses. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Matt, we need your help here. It's going to happen.
We've talked about this. It will happen. It will happen. But I know those intensives are fantastic. I've heard that Andy, who is on our podcast, he did that with his wife and just said it was so good. And so, yeah, I encourage couples out there, if you're needing help together, obviously Brad needs some help. And so reach out to them for sure. Guys, thanks. It's been fun as always.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to hear more, please visit purevictorypodcast.com to subscribe. This podcast was made possible by the generous donations of our subscribers. If you would like to help support the cause financially, once again, please visit purevictorypodcast.com.